and not enough population and tax base to furnish services to that large footprint. So what we did is that we shrank it down. We gave up all of the areas north of the of Lithonia Industrial. You're going up 124. We also gave up Ellenwood and everything east of Snapfinger Road. And so now with Snapfinger Road going up Miller Road to Covington Highway. So you look at Snapfinger Road up to Covington Highway, and then everything coming east south of 20 and south of Covington Highway. With the exception of when we get to the city of Lithonia, we cut back down to I-20 being the city limit, and we leave all the rest of the area open for the city of Lithonia if they so choose to annex. That was another sticking point in the legislature, that Lithonia needed the room and opportunity to grow if they wanted to decide to annex it. And so we left them open to the north and to the east in order for them to grow. Okay, so the second feasibility study came back that we passed. We are initially beginning with three services, parks and recreation, code enforcement, and zoning. Okay, those are initial services. We plan, as our budget is able to increase and city revenue increases, to take on police services and other services that full service cities also provide to their citizens. Police services is at the forefront of our attention. We understand that that is one of the primary concerns. So we'll be looking very soon to try to find the budget to either add police services or swap out Parks and Rec for police services if we're allowed to do that once the referendum passes. Once it passes, the governor will then appoint a committee to help transition us from a county run to a city run government. The governor will appoint people to that committee. It will consist of residents of the city of Stonecrest, county officials, and state officials. And then those people will work together to get the city set up for business. And then in March, then the first city elections will be held, where the citizens would elect their mayor and city council. And then we would go forward from there functioning as a normal city with city council meetings every month, and a mayor and with a city manager and a city clerk being the first primary full-time employees of the city. Okay?
So just two questions to help set the backdrop a little bit. Mm-hmm. First of all, who actually get the vote on this particular city? Is that vote extended to the entire DeKalb County or just a certain footprint within the county, number one? Number two, you said that should the referendum pass, we're looking to have the first voting in March. I'm assuming that's 2017.
Yes.
And that vote will set a date as to when the real election will occur. And what do you know that date of that real election? I'm done.
There is an election calendar that's put forward by the Secretary of State every year, and there is a March election date. I couldn't tell you the exact date because I'm not privy to it right now. But the Secretary of State normally sets up elections in March, and then we'll have primaries normally in June, and then you have runoffs during the summer, and then you have there's an opportunity for a September date, and then there's November.
So then the elected officials would then take their office on the first of January 2018.
I'm not sure of the exact calendar.
Okay.
And I thought I had a copy of the charter with me, and I don't. I apologize. Okay. But that election for the mayor and city council will take place in March. That's in the charter. Okay, and so those people will take at office on an official date within the next 30 to 60 days afterwards when the city is actually open for business.
Okay.
So by the summer of 2017, the city will be in place with its mayor and its city council. Also, your first question, the only people who vote up or down on the city of Stonecrest are the people who live within the Stonecrest footprint. not the entire county.
The Stonecrest, the proposed Stonecrest city,
city footprint, correct.
Okay. So for people that does not live in that footprint, that is voting at, say, early voting, is that detectable some way? How do they filter that?
Well, it should be by precinct, and each precinct should get its own ballot. Just like you're not voting for someone running in District 4, Commission right. District 4. Mm-hmm. You're voting for Commission District 5. But even no matter where you go to early vote, your registration determines what your ballot says. There are some precincts that are split, but the way that the cityhood footprint was made up was through census tracts. And it's done by the reapportionment office, which also sets up the voting precincts, as well as the, the districts. So the commission districts, the House and Senate districts, all that's done using the same measures, which are census tracts. And so they'd be able to carve out the census tract that are outside of the city of Stonecrest. And if there is an error that shows up in somebody's ballot, those people would not be counted. Okay. Yes?
I want to make sure that I understand the piece. After, if there's a favorable vote in November, mm-hmm. and we become the city of Stonecrest, so between November and March, that's when the governor comes in and establishes officers, those two offices that you said will be immediately right. staffed. So police services is not part of the top three priorities in order to be a city. How is it determined once we're ready to have our own police department? Two, when you said the governor comes in to make that determination and to see if we're able to establish other services besides the top three, like what's the turnaround, normal turnaround time?
Well, the other cities were established and they got turned around fairly quickly. Within months. If you remember last year, Tucker had their referendum in November. They had their city elections in March and their city open for business in May. Okay, so during that time, the governor's commission was in place helping to set up the city for business. Okay, according to state law, a city has to offer at least three services. It doesn't say which three services. Okay, so we chose the services that we thought we could afford and would have an impact on the best impact on our ability to attract new businesses. So we felt that the zoning, the code enforcement, and parks and rec as a quality of life type of service were the most viable ones so that we can have citizens seeing some positive effects in the short term with enhancing our parks and recreation and bringing them under some reasonable management and fixing up the parks that we have and continuing maintenance on the bigger parks like Brownsville. And then code enforcement, we can then enforce the code for our business areas, make sure that the businesses are replacing their burnout lights, they're cutting their grass, they're keeping their parking lots clean, they're keeping them in good repair, and making sure that they're following the code as well as vacant and foreclosed homes that have no residences, making sure that the banks who own them take care of those properties so they don't bring down neighboring value and neighboring properties. And then with zoning, making sure that the businesses that we attract are the types of businesses that we want, that we don't have people just popping up and plopping any type of business anywhere because nobody from our area is representing us on the zoning board or on the commission. And so those three services were chosen. After the election, and we're looking at negotiating with DeKalb County the services that they're going to continue to deliver with us. Okay, we're going to look at, and we're also going to take another snapshot of our revenue. Okay, what increases have we had? Because it's an increase. Property values have gone up since 2014. More service providers are coming to this area like Google Fiber, so that's more franchise fees. And then, you know, since then, even Comcast has enhanced their services, and therefore they have higher franchise fees than they did at the time of the original study. So we're going to have more revenue than we looked at the study. So what we're going to ask is that can we look at a mix of services that includes a police department, or can we look at paying more money to DeKalb County Police or DeKalb County Sheriffs for increased patrols and enhanced law enforcement and public safety until we can afford our own police department. Another thing as far as revenue is concerned, the legislature is going back to fix the SPLOST bill that didn't go on the ballot this year because of some kind of confusion about the homestead exemption tangling up the host and the SPLOST. It was some legislative language that did not work out, so they decided not to run the SPLOST this year. But they promised that they're going to go back to the legislature, they're going to fix the SPLOST language, and they're going to put the SPLOST back up next year. The SPLOST is the... Okay, SPLOST is it's a sales tax, more or less, okay? It's a sales tax that's committed to capital improvements. So it's a 1 cent sales tax throughout the county. Cities get a share to govern, to manage on their own. And then the areas of unincorporated DeKalb, their share would be under the control of the Board of Commissioners. And so based on the estimates of last year's, of the one that was put up for this year, based on those estimates, if the city of Stonecrest had existed, we look at getting about $40 million in SPLOST funds, okay? And so that will go towards capital improvements, and also if we want to purchase vehicles for our police department and equip the police force. So that type of thing could go on.
My question is, eSPLOST program, which is educational program, and now that's actually off the ballot too, as well?
No, the eSPLOST passed.
Okay, great.
So that's for the school district.
Correct.
A lot of people don't understand in DeKalb County, the school district and the county government are two separate government entities. The eSPLOST belongs to the school district. Mm-hmm. They're in control of that.
Right.
The SPLOST will be in control of the county or the cities, depending on where you live. And then those governing bodies will be in control of the SPLOST.
I have another question. I'm sorry. So most of the literature I've seen talks about there's no property tax increase, mm-hmm. which is kind of one of the main things that people are afraid of when they hear that we're trying to kind of go out on our own. If we're doing this in like segments, which this is, I'm glad we're having this because I'm beginning to understand that. We're doing this in segments. So first three services, make it look nice and pretty to get it built up to attract other things, you know, education, economic development, whatever. How do we know that, how can we guarantee that property taxes will not increase as we add on those other services that at some point will come online?
Mm-hmm. First of all, I'm not going to stand here and guarantee you that there's absolutely never going to be a property tax increase. I'm not going to do that. What our charter does say is that we can't increase the millage rate without the city council passing it and then it going to a voter referendum. That's how the millage rate gets increased. How some homeowners will see a property tax increase is as their properties go up in value. Okay? However, DeKalb County has a valuation freeze on the assessments.
Right.
And so if you have a freeze on your assessed value of your home, then that freeze stays intact. And so your assessment doesn't go up. So your property values can't, your property taxes can't go up.
Right.
Unless we raise the millage rate. Okay? So either way, the tax increases in the hands of the voters, okay?
Mm-hmm.
How we're looking at doing this without increasing property taxes on the residents is that as we attract new businesses here, we're gonna expect them to pay taxes. One of the differences between Stonecrest and Brookhaven and Dunwoody is that our properties are already undervalued. That includes our retail and our industrial properties. They're already undervalued. We don't have to give tax incentives so that companies can realize a certain level of profit. They're already coming in low, okay? So we don't have to offer them tax incentives or tax abatements like those high value properties up in the northern part of the county. That's part of the attraction of getting them here.
My question about that is, of course, we have Latonia Industrial. How are we going to be able to attract larger corporations into this area? And also, I'm looking at the area next to Stonecrest Mall where there's open lots. Is there a push to maybe bring some larger corporate offices there? Not strip malls, but actual businesses like you have up in the Dunwoody area.
We are not, the people who are involved in the Stonecrest Cityhood movement and have been involved are not focused on retail enhancement as yet, okay? It's gonna be a result of other types of development. So, the industrial park, what we're looking to attract is the movie studios, and not necessarily for a shooting film, although a lot of shooting is being done around here, but for services, building sets, building special effects houses, and things of that sort. So we're trying to attract those types of businesses. Also, logistics, transportation, the Port of Savannah is expanding, and we have some proximity to the airport, closer than a lot of other areas who are already joining that type of growth. Mm-hmm. That's gonna bring well-paying jobs to this area, okay? There are also some developments as far as large-scale sports and entertainment around the mall area that people are talking about right now, that proposals are on the table now for that type of development. But what the focus is to bring better-paying jobs to the area.
Yes.
So that people who live here already and drive across town don't have to. And then people who want to live close to work, it'll attract them here. Now, what is that gonna do for retail? The reason why other malls have been successful and other retail areas are successful, and don't be fooled, Stonecrest is not doing as bad as a lot of people think.
Right.
One of the things that drives those is the 24-hour economy. We have a nights and weekends economy. The people who live here work somewhere else. Now, when we come home, we may run by the mall, or we run by our local grocery stores, and or on the weekends, that's where we are. But during the lunch period, and during the after work period, we're spending money somewhere else, okay? My wife used to work in Perimeter Center. She did all her shopping before she got home. Because when she got home, it was time to take care of the kids, homework, that kind of thing. We want to recapture that back to here.
Yes.
And so once the sales pick up in our retail areas, then we'll be able to attract better retailers, okay? We want to increase the population density in those areas north of 20. We want to try to start increasing the population density so that the people who want, the businesses who prefer the walk-in customer like Whole Foods and some of those newer retailers, they will want to locate here as well. So a lot of people are concerned about their shopping choices and their consumer choices, but that's putting the cart before the horse. First thing is bringing the jobs. Then your retail will improve.
So as assuming that the referendum passed, assuming that everything's going well, going forward as the city grows, there, I would assume, would be some level of collaboration with the county.
Oh, yeah.
Does that still mean that, for instance, the 5th District Commissioner will still be our 5th District Commissioner?
Yes.
There would be some deals, per se, on the table that maybe DeKalb County is in the middle of now that would affect this area. I know that you guys are like, I know a lot of these decisions were probably made by the elected officials at the proper time.
Right.
But is there room now in your decision making to consider what level of collaboration we would need going forward?
Well, one, the transition from city to county, from county to city, is all driven by state law.
Okay.
So there is a mandated level of cooperation between the city and the county as we start getting this set up. It's mandated. So the county can't choke us out because they're mad because we can't become a city, okay? And we can't freeze the county out of any perks or anything that we have here because we want our own marbles and we want to take them home. There is a dictated level of cooperation. Also, we have never presented ourselves as the county's enemy. We are not one of the largest cities up north that are doing this because we want to break off from DeKalb. Our real goal in this is to build a financial engine that will benefit all of South DeKalb. Okay, there's not going to be a wall going up around Stonecrest that we keep all our buildings to ourselves. Okay, people from across Wesley Chapel can still come here to work. They can still come here to shop. They can still enjoy our parks. We want to make Arabian Mountain a statewide destination, a Southeast U.S. destination. Okay, and so we're also looking at working with the Department of Natural Resources to help enhance the services that are available at Arabian Mountain Park. We don't want to fill it up with cabins or hotels, but we want nice restrooms, nice amenities, and things that will help the hikers and the bikers and the walkers who come and patronize our trail. And so there's going to be a lot of intergovernmental cooperation, and we're looking at every existing government as a potential partner.
So the breakup of the cityhood, when you talk about the city council, I'm assuming that there is, how many city councilmen would there be, and what areas in general would they represent?
Okay.
Go ahead.
There are going to be 5 council seats. Okay, you're going to have a mayor, you're going to have 5 council people. And for the record, the mayor makes $20,000 a year.
That's
the
a lot
council
of
members, The council members make 60. Okay? So nobody's going to be getting rich running for office in Stonecrest. Okay? It's really public service. It's really, that's the pay for gas in Lake View. That's about it. Okay? But you're going to have 5 council seats. Council District 1 will be this area, along with the mall area and the industrial area north of 20. Okay? So the bulk of the voters are going to be living right down right in this area, okay, for District 1. There's another district, District 4, that's adjacent to this one, is going to incorporate almost pretty much all of the Arabian Mountain area. Right. It's going to be the largest in size, but all of the districts are going to have about 10,000 voters. Okay, so there's one for that Arabian Mountain area and the residents there, and then there are going to be 3 more primarily residential areas. I'm going to be in an area that includes Browns Mill Road from Evans Mill down to Snapfinger, but only going up to Rock Springs. Okay? There's going to be another district that's going to be north of Rock Springs, going across to Panola, okay, and up to Covington Highway, that area. And then there's another area, too, that's going to be everything west of Panola all the way to Miller Road, north to Covington Highway, and it's also going to cover the Panola Industrial Area. And so those are your 5 council districts roughly, and they're going to each have 10,000 or so citizens. So you go from having one county commissioner for 140,000 people to a city councilman that covers 10,000 people. And so you're going to have government closer to you that you can more easily influence because it's going to be easier to vote around. Just simply.
I have a question. Those people that will be appointed by the governor, will they be from the Stonecrest footprint?
Yes. Yes, they have to be citizens of the new city. They have to be included. So, yeah. Jason Larry just walked in. He's the president of Stonecrest Alliance.
Thank you.
I've answered a lot of questions, but whatever you want to throw in, and if you have questions for Jason, please feel free.
Well, like he was doing fine to me. thanks for having me, folks. This is the mark of a person that knows what they're doing is to go and get smarter people.
All right.
I make no bones about my talent. My talent is fight time. Mm-hmm. That's what I do. It's got to be one like me in every group to be successful. Mm-hmm. So when we had to go down to the Capitol and strangle people down to the ground, that was my job. Then the smart people come back and actually tell you how this thing can really work. So the long and short of it is this. This is our only shot. This is it. This is our only shot at independence. And the governor and the representative have made it clear that door closes behind us after this point. And having lived here inside part of all the things that I've seen that we have an opportunity to do here, this is our best shot at making our own way. Having our tax dollars go for our area to improve what we do right here. What I've learned lately, Joel, if you didn't mention this, is that if we become a city, the Splash referendum that comes up, we have $40 million that we didn't have before. So when we don't become a city, guess what happens to that $40 million? Brookhaven, Pine Lake, everybody else get their cut but us. We didn't even factor that $40 million into the study or anything else that we had. This just came up for the grace of God, as a matter of fact. So that's another area that we can clean up our own trash. We can pave our own roads. We can create capital improvements for us. Or not. Those are the only two choices. So not only do we already have a surplus with regards to the revenue that we earn for this area, and then I'm going to throw this twist in to Joel, we're also looking at how we can further reduce the tax liability of our seniors. See, we can get that done now with excess, and we concentrate on what happens best for this area, because quite frankly, some of you all have paid, in fact, overpaid your dues. And those of us that still have some time left that want to do some things, here's what we can create for this environment. But most of all, as I've heard Joel mention earlier, let's create some jobs. Let's create some commerce for our own area. I'm late because I'm driving from where? Africa. 2 hours in the morning, 1:40 in the evening. I don't have that much time left. So the long and short of it is that, you know, we just didn't think this up the other day. So we've been at this since the end of 2012, beginning of 2013. Years have come to pass. And now we have our shot. If we can save taxes, if we can create jobs, if we can build up our own area, this is something we should do, folks.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Jason, let's make sure I didn't get you wrong. This $40 million that you mentioned just now,
yes.
It is for the city of Stonesville or the Decatur?
City of Stonesville.
That was what we said, all right.
Only if this passes. Is that $40 million?
No, that ain't one.
Right.
Is that one time or just like an annual?
$8 million. $8 million a year.
After the 40 initials.
It's $8 million every year. The SPLOST is a 5-year tax. And it has to be renewed. And so it's $8 million a year. Okay? At the current projection.
Right.
Okay? Mercedes-Benz is coming to Dunwoody. We got other developments going on in Brookhaven.
Sure.
And we're going to be trying to build here. It's a county-wide tax. And so everybody, the tax goes into one big pot, and everybody gets their piece according to population. So as the county's pot grows, Stonecrest pot will grow. Okay? The second thing is, you see these numbers, and a lot of people sneeze at the numbers. Oh, you're going to only have this much in revenue. You know you're going to have this. Public revenue can be leveraged. Okay? Grants and things of that sort can be obtained for improvements in this area. For example, the Georgia Department of Transportation has a program called the Local Maintenance and Improvement Grants. Mm-hmm. That's where cities can go to the DOT and get 90% matching funds. Meaning if I show up with $1 million of my own local revenue, the state's gonna give me $9 million in order to do a $10 million project. Okay? And that's something that those are options that are open to us where we can leverage our local public revenue to get state funds, to get funds from the Federal Department of Transportation, and a lot of other programs where all we have to do is match, and then the bulk of the money comes from the larger, wealthier government. And we then focus those assets in our area.
Well, last question is the rumors about MARTA going to Stonecrest. I don't know if that's true or not, or if that's on the table. Do you know anything about it?
That's totally on the MARTA board and on MARTA. Yeah, that's at the state level. MARTA is its own quasi-government and is governed at the state level by the MARTA committee. What DeKalb County opted not to do, that the city of Atlanta and Fulton County opted to do, was to initiate a separate increase in the MARTA tax to enhance services in the city of Atlanta, which is why Emory is now trying to annex into Atlanta so that a train could come to Emory and they'd be included in that additional tax. DeKalb County opted out of going into that tax arrangement. I'm not quite sure what the city of Stonecrest would be able to do, but a train can't get here unless it goes through DeKalb County. So that would take a lot of regional and intergovernmental cooperation for that to happen.
It's not straightforward, yeah. Now you said you're part of your job or part of your the person that you are in your role. It's a string of people. I'm not saying that I want you to strangle this individual. But I did see in the Crossroads magazine today that our commissioner, Reed Davis Johnson, is running an ad that basically says, join me in voting for, say yes to Hillary,
right.
No to Amendment 1, and then no to Stonecrest. What would be a commissioner's motivation to take that route?
Interesting you mentioned it. Joel and I had a presentation a couple of 3 weeks ago at a homeowner association in
Lion's Head.
She's
so resident.
Right. While she was there passing out the propaganda on glossy paper. So Joel shows me, we read it over real quick, and then it's our time to present. And everything she wrote was in the era. Mm-hmm. So since we had the opportunity, and I go back to your original statement, while her and her husband sat there, I said, you need to learn how to do math. It's a small number into the big number. It's not that big number into the small number. Everything that you mentioned here is wrong. And so I said that just to say, you know, they want to, particularly both of them. I say they because it's both of them. They want to stay in power. They want to control the power that happens in this particular area. Marita Johnson's whole thing for running for office is the one they become CEO until they found out that the CEO job is going to probably go away.
Exactly.
You know, and if any of you ever came to the District 7, District 5 elections, so it was like 10 or 11 people running, right? Hands down, she was absolutely the worst. The most uninformed, the most non-intelligent, the most, I don't even have another word for how bad she was. And I said, how do we put these same people back in place? We keep recycling the same dum-dums. You know, so I said that just to say, at every front we challenged them. At every front. And the biggest piece of it to, pretty much answer your question from there is that, friends help friends. We can write these same articles, we won't get them published. We don't have a check big enough to write the newspaper to give to them. I mean, Joel and I,
we can't get an op-ed
in the paper. You know, op-ed as our own opinion, right? Editors call us back trying to change
what we wrote.
What we write. So it's about that power. It's about staying in control of this area.
Right.
But we're going to break it up.
Well, first of all, I would say you do a good job of strangling people.
Just
hear what you just said about our commissioner. However, I get what you're saying. And to me, it seemed like, and I know it's a political thing for a lot of the elected officials, and there are power struggles. But it just seemed to me that a person that people will go to such lengths to try to downplay or downgrade something that seems so positive for the neighborhood. I mean, it's not like we're asking to become another state,
right?
Or that we're going to move out the county. We're no longer going to be part of DeKalb County. My opinion from sitting here and from following this whole process for over a year, almost 2-3 years now, actually, right. Is that there, in my opinion, is nothing but good at the end of this tunnel, if you want to call it that. And seem like most of the adversarial stuff that we're getting are coming from politicians basically saying, we just don't need another city. But without a real reason, you know, as if there's no benefit to it. And so I see, I don't know if the rest of our neighbors do this, but I see a ton of benefits. And when I visited you guys' website and when I went to all your presentations, all the benefits align. Never disproved, but now, in addition to that, we got the $40 million cherry on top of the cake, and I don't see why or who would have an issue with that. Now, earlier, myself and Mr. Eden and Ed Winter, we were talking, and in the discussion that came up was that you were talking about taxes earlier. I don't think most concerned citizens will have an issue with rate with taxes going up if it's going to bring benefit to neighborhood.
Right.
Sometimes, if you want to be a better community, if you want to compete with the W's or whatever, you may have to actually raise taxes if you want to look that way.
Right.
You know, and but the good news is that we will get to choose that on a more local level than having to join in with the county per se. So we're not competing outside for county money anymore per se.
Right.
Correct me if I'm wrong.
No, you're
100% fair. And the tax increase that you would approve would only apply to the portion of your property taxes that come to the city.
And not, right.
Not to the county. So everything for sewage and storm drainage, we're not taking that over. None of the cities have taken that over. Fire protection and rescue, we're not taking that over. None of the new cities took that over. Okay? You would still be paying at the county level for those services. Whatever the county is charging, that's what you would charge. The property taxes that go to the services within the city is the only things that you would raise.
I want to give you an example of what you just mentioned, because let's say, for instance, the hotel Stonecrest, the one that's hand-built.
Mm-hmm.
Here's my stance versus what Marita's stance is. Oh, let's talk about it. We're going to write some old letters. We're going to do some other things. We'll see what we can do. Me, you got 31 days to do something about this property or I knock it down.
Okay.
That's it. Come and get me, if you will. That's where we have to be at this point. Trash on the road. I see you. You put trash on the road, you don't clean up your area, I fine you $1,000 a day until you get it done.
So the city will be able to actually do the things that you're
correct. Done. See, now these are our ordinances. This is our code enforcement.
Right.
But quite frankly, you know, all those friends talking, it's got to take somebody with some moxie to get it done and to stand behind it.
Right.
Not sit behind the desk, not be afraid of it, not shy away from it. Hit it straight head on, because this is the only way we are going to change our area. There's no more time for waiting. We don't have that kind of time left. And for people to just let things go by, not handle it, I still want to be in power because my husband's doing this, and hopefully one day I can go. I'm not hearing any of that. I'm just not. So that's why I know this is our last shot at doing something for us. Like Joel said earlier, you have 50,000 people, 5 council folks, 10,000 each. That's a person you can go find, and then one mayor. You're not gonna find Marita Johnson or her team or anybody to come out here and do anything specific that's for our area and be accountable for it. But you brought up something that I think is very interesting. I don't understand why they would be opposed to this when it doesn't diminish their power base.
Right.
They still get to be commissioner. They still get to sit in the big seat. It doesn't take away from their tax base, you know, with regards to what we're doing in our area. I didn't see this same fight against Dunwoody and Brookhaven and the rest of the folks that was up there, only against us in this area. And here's what's even worse. What do you think is going to happen if we don't do it?
Same. More of the same.
There's nothing more of the same. So, yes, I am willing to stand up and choke him in front of everybody. Let's see what comes out. Metaphorically speaking, of course.
Yeah. I know. How long are these officials elected for? Is it 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years? What are the qualifications to be to run for any of these offices? How is the two individuals that you mentioned that would be full-time employees right off the rip, how is that decision made, and what's that process like? What I'm getting at is, government is government, and whether it's in DeKalb County or in Stonecrest, we need accountability. We need to know what's going to happen before it happens. We need to be as educated as possible about this entire process all the way through to the end, so that we can have this glory roll or whatever on the other side. So if you could tell me a little bit about those things, that would be helpful.
Okay, first, office holders. All terms are 4 years.
For
the initial election, you're gonna vote everybody in. However, I can't remember if it's two or three of the city council members will only serve 2 years in that initial term, so that the elections would then be staggered.
Right.
Okay, so in 2 years, two or three of the city council members are going to have to run for re-election, okay? And then they would be staggered, you know, over every 2 years you're going to be electing somebody, either the mayor and some council people or just some council people. Second, the two positions, the city clerk and the city manager. In that interim process, there will be an interim city manager and an interim city clerk in order for the business to get off the ground and the city to get up off the ground and start doing business, negotiating contracts, things of that sort, okay? After the elections are held, then the city council and the mayor would then be responsible for hiring and confirming the permanent city manager and city clerk, okay? So nobody's got a full-time guaranteed job and benefits until after the city elections, when the people who are voted, the people voted in by the citizens, make the decision on who to hire and ratify.
So would the city clerk and the city manager, is it a requirement that they live actually in this area, or could they live in Atlanta?
It is not in our charter that they must live in this area. The qualifications will be set by the city council, however, and the city council can determine if they need to live in this area. However, and this is my warning, okay, I think it's more important to have somebody with experience and with certifications and has done this before, as opposed to just making sure that it's somebody for me. Okay, now if we've got that kind of talent developed over here, I'm more than happy to bring in my neighbor. But I think it's more important to have the experience than the locality. Now, on the other hand, we did discuss that any city employees outside of those two managerial, like HR or janitor or, you know, secretaries, admin assistants, code enforcement officers, and people of that sort, we want those people from this footprint.
That's perfect. That's great. So, logistically speaking, where would this city hall be located?
We got a number of options. Most of them are in the main retail area near the mall.
There's okay. Stonecrest Mall?
Right. So there's the option of the Best Buy building that's empty. There's the option of the Target building that's empty. Those would take some build out, but they would get rid of an empty, non-functioning building. We also have the office building where Strayer is, which is only 30% rented out. And we don't have to put a lot of money into building that out because it's already wired for computers and phones and office space and things of that sort. And so it would just be something that they'd look at the time, but we expect it to be somewhere in that area.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that because, you know, I think there was discussion about the old Target and, like you mentioned, Best Buy. I think at this time that might be a little too large to start off with. If we look at downtown Stone Mountain, I mean, they started off with a now finally, you know, years they have something bigger. So something like Strayer makes more sense. It's already pre-designed and we can expand. We don't have a police department, we have anything else.
Right.
So we don't need to incur a whole lot of debt or overhead when we don't need it, so we can put it in other places that matter.
Right. And we want common sense decisions. Yeah. And that's the thing. Folks like us can show up and let our voices be heard and let it be known what we want and how we want things to be done. We're looking at city council people who a couple of subdivisions can get you out of office, put you in or get you out. You gotta listen to the people. You have to respond to what they want. They're gonna call you on malfeasance. They're gonna call you on waste. They're gonna call you on neglect. And so that's one of the biggest reasons why we wanna have a government that's focused here. Because that government can be accountable to us. Awesome. Yes,
ma'am. I wanna visit the economic development topic. And then I'm gonna leave with my noisy baby. I apologize. She never talks to me.
Only in the
So I get now, okay, I understand we have those three buckets, and I get that a lot of what we're trying to gain is more of like long-term gains. So what are gonna be some of the more short-term gains in terms of economic development? Because a lot of us, this community has been here like 10 and a half years. I've been here 10 years. So the mall was built, the restaurants opened, some of the big major retailers left. Now I went to the mall the other day, and it's a lot of the kind of stores that I don't necessarily shop in and buy things in. So when I'm downtown working, I go out there in terms of like restaurants to get like a more quality or a diverse type of experience. Yeah. So what are some of the more short-term, because although there are only a few of us here, we still have the ability to influence those that have not made a decision yet. And so when I read and think back to the literature and the meeting, one of the first meetings you guys had here about 2 or 3 years ago when Chad was kind of fresh on your team, you know, it was like, it seemed like it was all like, oh, as soon as day one, this is all gonna go in place. Now it's kind of like being scaled back. Or we're gonna put these three things in service, which, you know, in terms of Parks and Rec, you know, we have Arabian Mountain. I don't really think about other parks, you know, in terms of zoning. We don't really have issues over here. We're protected by a covenant. So anything that happens outside of our area, you know, I think the worst house I've seen is down going towards Klondike, one of those older houses that's over on the right. Don't see a lot of issues with that. So I think economic development is what we're really yearning for. So if we have to wait another 5 to 10 years, how does that, now that property values are increasing, I can get out of my house. So how do you encourage someone like me to stay if I have to wait 5 to 10 years for better variety or more economic development? Because you talked about we have to increase, we're in a very densely populated area. And we know some of the grocery stores like Publix did a study, there are not enough rooftops. Yeah, so to get more rooftops mean that you have to get more houses or more apartments. So how does a city, a small city like Stonecrest, do that in order to get those bigger companies that don't feel that we have enough people over here? We have an income, but we don't have the rooftops. Mm-hmm. So what are the, so I say all that to say, what are some of the more short-term wins that we'll have that we can see?
The short-term wins go clean up our commercial and industrial areas, attract people who are going to bring higher paying jobs. The higher paying jobs is the key. We're not going to be able to diversify or improve our retail and consumer choices until the higher paying jobs come. Okay? That should not take very long. I mean, between the State Board of Economic Development and as far as what the city plans to do, we can attract and bring some higher paying jobs into this area with people willing to move here with those jobs. We're looking at attracting a younger group of people. Most of us are getting older. We're gonna be looking for those exemptions coming up, okay? And that will decrease the revenue for the city. So we're trying to bring in younger people, higher wage earners with more disposable income to this area. Will that mean building some condos up close to the I-20? Yeah. Will that mean increasing some density around here so that they can live? Yeah, but they're bringing their money with them, okay? And when they bring their money with them, that's what's gonna, that money flowing through our community is what's gonna attract the type of retailers that we want to have here and improve the ones that are already here, okay? I mean, if a Macy's in a B-class mall does not, like, which is what Stonecrest is, does not have the same type of personnel as a Macy's in an A-class mall at Lenox and Perimeter, okay? They don't have the same choices. But if we increase the amount of sales per square foot in Stonecrest, then we can attract those higher level retailers to come back and improve their personnel in the stores that they already have here.
okay? But it overnight is not going to be a flipping of a switch. I'm saying it's going to take at least a couple of years to feel the impact of what we're trying to do by bringing in these jobs and bringing in some newer, younger population to start populating this area and spending money here close to where they work and live.
I want to add to that same piece that you just asked about. Because there's some things that you all don't know. And what I want to tell you is that there are companies now waiting to see mm-hmm. if we're going to become a city or not. We have over 500,000 square foot of space in the industrial area that you all really don't travel now. The companies are looking to come back on shore mm-hmm. that brings revenue to us, that brings jobs to us. You know what they're waiting on? If you will be a city or not, because we are not going to deal with DeKalb County. We've had 100 meetings like that with major manufacturers. And I've seen companies that bypass us, go straight to Rockdale, yep. go straight to Newton County. I'm not working with DeKalb County. I've seen Union City, all the way out 85, absolutely explode with major corporations, Yamaha, Kawasaki, all kind of people that are all kind of organizations that are coming back on shore with light and heavy manufacturing that won't even entertain the fact of coming out here. But we have a new city, new brand. These are folks we've already met with before that said, when you all become your own independent entity, we will come this way. So, I added that statement to say, there's a whole nother side of revenue that we don't see from an industrial standpoint that folks are ready to do business with us right now. But they won't do business with DeKalb County. This is something I won't say on the news or in the paper. But you bring up DeKalb County thing, they just laugh. They'll laugh in your face if you're standing there. Because they've had this experience with them before. So you have to figure this out. Let's get to your other question. How is it that major industry will drive further out? They will drive past I-20 and Turner Hill and go to, what does Conyers and Newton County and Walton County have? And we don't have right here.
Right.
Easier way to do business, quicker access, no nonsense. Not folks getting locked up every other Friday for doing something stupid, you know, with the government money. That's what they have that we don't have.
Mm-hmm. I did kind of hit on it. My follow-up question was going to be, how will the transition occur with companies that are currently negotiating to possibly be in the Stonecrest area? That's with DeKalb County now, and once become a city. Like, how does that transfer happen?
With regards to the organizations that are located in this area?
So from my understanding, and that's another thing, transparency. You know, there are some things going on. I understand that there are some things that can't be disclosed, but I feel that there's not a lot of transparency. So just now, Jason, when you said, you know, there are things that we don't know,
right.
We know, but we don't know. So, you know, somebody will throw out there, yeah, well, we're negotiating with these companies, but we can't really talk about it. I think it's all right, and I'm not saying you understand the general the way government works now. I think we have a right to know at the point that we can know. I think, right. You know, we have a lot of, okay, it's in the papers now we're going to reveal it to you, as opposed to we're at the beginning of it. So once again, I do understand that there are certain types of businesses where they're not disclosed. You can't talk about the deal until it's inked or there's certain approvals made.
Correct.
But I think this transparency is going to be really important. So when you talk about all these businesses, I'm talking about right now, supposedly, there are businesses that's supposed to come to this area right here, the Stonecrest Corridor. We don't know what they are, who they are, but those businesses, if they're currently negotiating with DeKalb County, will that automatically transfer over to the city or will it stay with DeKalb County?
Well, I answer that in two parts. First part is that when business people, I'll tell you what I do for a living. All I talk to is C-level folks and presidents. That is my business. I sell at the large insurance level for organizations that want to come or relocate to another area, so they disclose a particular amount of business with you. The reason that you can either talk about some of it is that either you have to sign a confidentiality agreement, or from a business standpoint, what if we don't pass? And then they shoot themselves in the foot with the county. They can't leave themselves that open if they plan on coming here or not coming here. That's the first thing. Second thing is that I do agree with regards to what happens, you know, in the transparency area. Well, everything's opened up once you start to do business as a municipality because of open record requests. You can find out anything you want to know with regards to what's going on, you know, in your city that you don't have a confidentiality agreement on. third part of your second question is that what happens to the businesses that are possibly doing business with DeKalb County as it sits today? Well, guess what? That tax dollar comes to Stonebridge now. So they can either finish the business or not finish with it. But if they get located here, that tax dollar will belong to us. This part you didn't ask, but I always add this anyway, because people would say, here's the argument that Joel and I and others have heard for years now. Gunner went in there and stole our money. They done took our money and built all this stuff we done built up there, and now it's all located in Dunwoody. It's all located in El Paso, Dunwoody. Well, guess whose tax dollar helped build Stonebridge Mall, Brown Mill Aquatic Center, all the things that we had infrastructure for, what we have in this area? Fair is fair, because they helped pay for that too. We just didn't pay for it all on our dime by ourselves. So if we become a city, which I'm hoping that we will, these assets now belong to us, and they have paid for those too. So, I hope that cleared up some of the cloud out there.
Bernard was here earlier this summer, and I know you said something to the fact that when it's clear conscience, it can't take good divorce in the city. And you also mentioned the fact that city like Dunedin and La Vista, they're having problems that we're not aware of. Are you guys aware of any problems in these new cities?
Yeah, they have problems figuring out what they're going to do with the extra money that they have.
that's their
problem. Come on, let's spend
money. One of the things that, though, man, I'll be serious and answer one of the problems that they say that they have. You got a certain group of citizens that believe every extra penny of tax dollars is evil. If I spend one more penny in taxes, then I'm being cursed some kind of way. One of the issues that the northern cities are having is that as assessments rise, their properties aren't frozen, okay? Or in terms of the commercial property owners who don't have homestead exemptions, who don't have those exemptions, well, you're giving them a backdoor tax increase because their property assessments are going up, and you're not lowering the millage rate so that they don't pay any more money. Okay? That's one of the issues that they're saying, one of the problems that they have. I don't see that as a problem. I don't see it as a problem if a company comes and invests in this area and they own property and their values are going up because they're making money and this area is making money. As the values go up, if there's no freeze, and the values go up, the tax dollars go up. And why is that not a problem? Because the demand for services is gonna go up. If I've got a business that's successful, I want police that's gonna protect it. I want fire that's gonna save it. And I want code enforcement that's gonna make all the other businesses around me behave the same way so they don't bring my value down. As property values go up, the demand for services go up. And a lot of these people in the northern cities who complain about taxes all the time, they want something for nothing. Which is why they want tax freezes, they want assessment freezes on everything, they want to keep other areas unincorporated so that their share of tax dollars come to them, and you folks deal with however you deal with at your level. But those are the only issues that I see up there. They talk about, they'll fight over if we're gonna have this type of development or we're gonna have that type of development. But as far as the citizens in those cities being dissatisfied with their standard of living, I don't hear that. And I talk to them every day. I work for the school district, I go to those schools, I see those parents, and I'm on social media, and I talk to my neighbors up there in North DeKalb, they're not complaining about their quality of life.
How would you interject some of the things that you're talking about now that we should be doing down the road? For instance, the plan developments and some of the other things that you talked about. How would you inject that into an unelected city council? You know, is some of these things, these plans and these strategies, will they be built in some sort of documentation, or would that be some advisory committee? In other words, how the way you are thinking will be translated to the new city council.
I'm not understanding.
Okay, so some of the things you just talked about, you know, like how the strategy for attracting businesses to the city is a good strategy. But now come March 17th and we elect a city council, how does your ideal get translated or how would they grasp your ideas? Who's going to talk to them about that? So somebody in this meeting that's not in this meeting, but they get elected to one of the council positions. Mm-hmm. This may be something new for them. Never been in politics before. They haven't heard your presentation. They're new at this. Who tell them what you're telling us?
They have
monthly meetings.
Yeah,
they have monthly meetings that you can go to and speak out.
Oh, so you're saying that the citizens would then tell the elected officials some of the strategies that was discussed?
They would have to go through the same vetting process.
Right.
We're not even running for office. We're trying to get a referendum passed.
Right.
But I'm standing here answering questions.
That's what I'm saying.
And but your city council candidates are going to have to do the same thing if they want your vote. Also, the city would establish an economic development department to actually go out and do this work.
Okay, so I think we're sort of on the same page. But what I'm saying is that what you guys presented to us sounds like the best route to take.
Mm-hmm.
But you guys came to this conclusion from studies, from whatever, from personal experience, from reading or whatever. But the new elected officials seems like would have to be retrained to be on the same page with you guys.
Mm-hmm.
Potential.
Yeah.
What I'm asking, I guess, is do you have this stuff set aside someplace? So, for instance, if I was interested in running an office and I wanted to run on your platform, how can that happen without me having to go out and do my own research and start over, and as opposed to hitting the ground running with a plan that sounds like it will work?
Oh, we got volumes of studies. We got studies from UGA, we got studies from Georgia Tech, we've got economic development experts that we consult with.
And you would make this available to the potential candidate.
Of course, because I mean, even if none of us ever, if we don't run, if let's say if I don't run and I'm not seeking office, as a citizen, I want to make sure that anybody who's going to represent me is going to support that platform.
Right.
And that anybody who I vote for is going to adopt that platform, even if I got to sit with him at my dining room table and show it to
him. That answers my question.
Okay.
Okay. Thanks. My thing is, I think you guys got an excellent plan for the city. But if you get elected officials who are not on the same page with you, who want to help take a less aggressive approach, then, you know, to me that seemed like taking a step backwards. We have a new city, but we don't have a vision.
I agree.
And so, I don't want to lose the vision in the election process. And I like what I'm hearing, but I just want to ensure that continues with the whoever gets elected. Mm-hmm. That's all I'm saying.
I believe in an active citizen. And that's the only way that any type of reform under any type of government is that if the citizens are active and you show up and you hold them accountable, it doesn't matter. We could make a brand new city if we want to. If the citizens don't hold these folks accountable,
that's true,
then we're going to have the same mess as before. What we're looking at as this opportunity is that it's going to take fewer citizens to hold a smaller government accountable. Okay? Like I said, we got 140,000 residents to one commission. That's one vote. And then for 2 years previous, we had no vote. While the Board of Commissioners played political games with our representation, we paid our taxes and got nothing because we got no representation. And there was nothing we could do to change it. It took somebody to show up with 1,000 yellow t-shirts to shout down the Board of Commissioners to make them make a decision on what to do about a special election.
Right.
That's what it took. It took people to show up to make them do it. And then once they did it, what happened? A crony got in. What?
That's it.
We still got to be accountable as citizens. That never changes. Anybody? Any questions?
Yeah, what did you say to the person?
Come on. Turned that place around, got that done. I worked on the budget, efficient, did what he was supposed to do. People with his political enemies, always after him trying to get him. He always had the answer. He brought me over. He and Ron Ramsey brought me over to the school district where I'm the director of internal audits now. He brought me over to help start reforming the school district. Have the utmost respect for him and for his talents. But if you talk to Michael Thurman today and ask Michael Thurman, what can you do for our area? What can you do for South DeKalb? Michael Thurman will answer you truthfully and he will say, I have to be CEO of all of DeKalb County. I can't focus just on South DeKalb. Right. I have to be the CEO from everybody, from Dunwoody to Ellenwood. I have to be the CEO. It's up to the people to get on board to make changes for themselves. That came out of his mouth from the pulpit at Berean Christian Church 2 weeks ago. And so, I like Mike. I got his sign too, and I'm gonna vote for him, okay? But the man is telling you, I can't do it all for you. I can't save you. At some point, you gotta save yourself.
Come on now.
And this is where we are.
Yeah. This is a message I'd like for you to send to the people in my Stonecrest car. You see, I was hearing this all these months. And that's Jimmy and Mr. Eady. I always thought to these guys, oh, where did all you guys been? You see, you guys, I mentioned my background to you. You guys know what I am. So, you know, so I other guy will go right down to the nitty gritty. You know what I mean? And this is what I want to roll out to the people at the Stonecrest Corridor. Are, you know, and it's difficult because for the longest time I've been waiting for you guys.
We're here.
Well, unless you guys got more to say, we certainly appreciate you guys coming out. And if you guys don't mind giving them a hand for coming out.
This is the second or third time, I don't know for certain that they've been out. Last time we was out was on a Saturday morning, and I remember Jason saying, I'm here all day. Ask me as many questions as you want. Take the time. But it's night now. You can't I know you go forever if you because you really have this in your heart. So but if there's any other questions from the closeout from the community or the members of the community,
You can ask them now, you can ask them after we close now. But they do have, do you guys still got the website up?
Oh, website. StoneCrestYes.com. Yeah. VoteYesForStoneCrest.com.
And got Tom, say that again.
VoteYesForStoneCrest.com. And we're on Facebook. Our Facebook page is StoneCrest City. On Facebook.
Okay, so VoteYesForStoneCrest.com. Remember that. And you can go in there. They had, I remember last time there is what places where you can ask questions, and there's tons and tons and tons of information that you can download, print out, and study, and mark up, and do whatever you want to do. I appreciate you guys coming out again. At this point in time, we're going to go ahead and dismiss, but you know, if you guys want to hang around or whatever you want to do, that's fine. Thank you guys for coming out.
Y'all know what they're going to build right across from Walmart.
Yeah, we can have two signs per yard. Do y'all know what they're building across from Walmart?
That's a restaurant?
Yeah, it's a Walmart, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, does anybody know?
But I haven't seen, you know, rumors of doing it. But there is another proposal that's on the table. This one, and Sherry, you know, before she left, is that there is a group looking at purchasing all the available land at Stonecrest and bringing in high-end soccer, sports complex.
Topgolf?
It would change our region.
The training center that was going to be over by NEP train station for the Atlanta Football Club. They're going to do Atlanta Football Club. They have a training facility for the pro soccer team.
Right.
And I think it didn't happen.
Yeah. So what area was it going to be in?
Over by the prison. Train station.
Okay, I don't know. That name doesn't ring a bell to me. But it could very well be, you know, the same.
I think they moved that project to.
You said the land was supporting.
Cobb County.
You're talking about behind by the where the jail was.
Right.
That was on the blank. For the professional soccer team.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Whatever happened to the people that purchased some years ago, they purchased some land on Lithonia Industrial. They were supposed to be of some
Water
kind
World
of,
and some other kind of thing there.
Yes.
Flipped upside down.
So they lost that property?
They did. Okay. Yeah. But the project that he just mentioned, that was off the blank. That was gonna be his professional soccer team.
The training field.
And training field. This is a separate group altogether. I'm glad it's soccer. I am glad it's soccer.
Yes.
Because soccer brings a positive element.
Right.
No more basketball balls. None of that.
I had a copy after that. It's like when you were over at Wigwalker Park, you know, there's a lot of soccer fields back there. My son's played back there.
Good.
And there's a certain amount of turnout, but in our community, we have yet to be educated on the value of a soccer, you know, facility. And then what happens is you have like Hispanic organizations that come in, now they have to be sponsored by Ford and everybody when they come down there. The same spot where every day that we're not paying attention to, there's a whole lot of money that's being generated. So if we have that over in Stonecrest, it's really going to shoot things up on an international level.
So I would really encourage,
not just saw the cat comment,
you know, when I saw that presentation,
their
stipulation was that we're going to see what happened with this city first.
We're not
going to invest millions of dollars in this area.
But we're an international city to begin. We have so many different ethnic backgrounds. Yeah, this place worldwide.
The interstate and all the access.
We can be.
I'll tell you what Joel and I and two others told the representatives, and we'll let you go. Now, I have no shame in telling you all this because you need to know how this came about. You need to know how we got on the ballot. If it wasn't for GOP, we would not have a vote. If it wasn't for Republicans from the South, in the Senate and in the House, we would not be on this ballot. We could not depend on our own black representatives to get us on the ballot. I don't know about that. I could, something else got to happen. They might as well have on blackface and shoes dancing in the street. I would, when I say choking, I mean I wanted to choke them. We had to walk down every individual senator and representative and tell our story over a multi-year period of time. And then finally, them folks said, you know what? Let's see what they can do. Let's give them a shot. That's how we got on this ballot for November. So when I see Marita Johnson and people that's advertising against us and didn't stand up for us when it was showtime, I think I grew hair on my arms when I saw it. Because, you know, they have no other viable plan that we can work at this particular time that's going to make a difference for our area. I mean, no viable plan at all. So, you know, I believe in the folks that believe in us. And most of all, I believe in us. I know we can do this. And I point to Joel all the time because they're not as smart as he is.
The thing is, you and Joel have said this over and over again, and some of the other politicians too, but they don't really mean it. We have to have more voter education, and which would, I think, lead to voter turnout. I think our votes shouldn't be taken for granted. I think we should become educated. When you have gone years without representation, and you have an opportunity to elect somebody, and 5% of registered voters show up and vote, that's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. Uh-huh. And we are not going to be able to, without the citizen input, without citizen participation, we're just a group of complainers. Mm-hmm. Right. And that's all it is. Your only voice, in my belief, when it comes to the political structure in this country, is when you actually go vote. But I don't think people should vote blindly and vote out of tradition. I think you should be an educated voter, know what you're talking about, understand what you want, and take a position and go to the poll and punch in your position.
SecretaryofState.com, .gov, I think is a spot you can find your elected officials and what they stand behind. So like what I'm doing now, I mean, I've been going for a while, but now I need to spend more time if we want to change things, we have to work with the congressmen and senators, make sure they're in the political spots, because the president don't do everything.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So what happens in our local and state government is most important. If you want a proper education, we need to start from here and work our way up so we can control the House.
Exactly.
And be able to
have those laws passed by the president, because the president, that's all he do is just sign the bills to make them law.
You know what crossed us over in the same thing that you're talking about? Finally, we got this message to anybody that will vote for us, in the Senate or in the House. I ask them one thing. Give us a chance to take care of ourselves. I don't need your free lunches. I don't need your free tokens. I don't need your discount, nothing. Right. What I need for you is to punch this ticket so I can bring it back to our citizens so we can say yes or no.
Right.
No reasonable person, Democrat or Republican, should deny you the opportunity to have your own vote. Right. And that's the problem that I have with our black politicians. You're trying to tell me I don't even have enough sense for myself.
You got to take care of me.
Right. You don't take care of me. Go home and do what you do. But let us have our vote. Now, November 9th, if I wake up the next day and the majority of the people have said no, I can live with it. Because I gave it the best that we can do. I just don't think that's going to happen.
Okay. Is everybody signed up with Stonecrest? Is everybody come on and put their information online so we can keep up with what's going on? Everybody signed up? Okay. She got the vocal call.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Well, we need volunteers. If anybody's interested in volunteering and working with us, anybody need yard signs, we got yard signs.